service is the order of matin service, found on page 32 in the hymnal. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Let us worship the Lord. Read the intro found printed on the insert in the bulletin. Behold, your king is coming to you.
Righteous and having salvation.
Who in the skies can be compared to the Lord?
Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord?
Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Blessed are the people who know the festal shout,
who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face,
who exalt in your name all the day,
and in your righteousness are exalted.
For our shield belongs to the Lord,
our King, the Holy One of Israel.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Behold, your king is coming to you.
Righteous and having salvation.
You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The Old Testament reading is found written in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, the 33rd chapter. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days, and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle reading is found written in Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, the third chapter. What thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may God our Father, our God and Father himself, and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel reading is found written in the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 19th chapter. Please rise in reverence for the Gospel. When Jesus had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this: 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus. And throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.' But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. You may be seated as the children's choir comes forward. No children's choir. The hymn of the day.
Thank you. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. Amen. Meditation this morning comes from both the Old Testament and Gospel readings, as read prior. And most especially, Christ has come to execute justice, and thus we must prepare. Here we are at the beginning of Advent, beginning of another church year, and yet the topic of this Sunday is not all that different from the topic of last Sunday. We have been talking about the end times and of Jesus' second coming. And the coming of Christ is very much what Advent is all about. Advent means coming. And so, Advent is a time of preparation for Christ's coming, both his first one that we most readily see in Christmas, but also for his second coming in our own lives. And so we have this prophecy from Jeremiah. He preaches about this branch that becomes a technical term, a technical prophecy about the coming Messiah. And of it he says that he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. God's justice can be somewhat confusing to us, to be honest. I mean, we often have our own sense of what justice is. If you look to the courts, well, you find mixed results. Some judges think one way, some judges think another. Makes people confused as to what justice really is. The sort of preeminent way that people tend to think of justice is kind of called distributive justice, if you will. That people should get what they deserve according to what they have done. Plain and simple. You've probably heard that line before, pretty much. People should get what they deserve. And while there's some of that to God's justice, does not describe all of it. We know through this passage and through the Gospels that Christ's work brings about justice, his life and office, that he would come and die and rise again. That certainly brought about justice. We know that because we are told it. Because God has said, this is what my justice looks like. But if you stop for a second and think about what the implications are of that, let your old Adam's thoughts seep in for just a moment. As I know that you believe otherwise, that you have faith, think of what your old Adam might say. This man dies, and everything everyone did wrong is forgiven, but only the people who believe in him, the people who did what I think are good things, but aren't Christian, their sins aren't forgiven? What's up with that? And yet, we know, and we want God's justice. Because without it, there is no salvation. There is no forgiveness of sins. With God's justice, he is patient. He is slow to anger. He lets us live. He mends our ways himself. He makes us holy. He forgives our sins. Even though we have done wrong, we do not get bad things in return. At least, not on Judgment Day. Sure, we still have the first death to contend with, and that is the death of that old Adam that may be still coursing through your mind. God's justice is the only way you or I could be saved. If it was a man ruling the world, none would be left standing. In faith, the Holy Spirit has granted us the ability to see both our sin and the need for our Savior, and the fact that this is just. And so, when Jesus comes triumphant into Jerusalem, ready to meet his death, he's here to execute justice. And no one knows what it's going to look like. They're rejoicing, praising him in the streets. And yet he has come not to be praised, but to die. He is executing justice. He is being praised for it, as is his right. In fact, it's not just his right. He says it's inevitable. If the disciples were quiet, the stones would cry out. The announcement of justice is here. All are recognizing this king in Jerusalem. All who believe, anyway. The Pharisees are obstinate. Not all are behind him. And it is men who are in Jerusalem that will kill him. But he's here to show the difference. The difference between his justice and ours. He's here to show us what true kingship is. Not just an earthly king with gold and silver. Not with pomp and an indestructible car, as our president may have. He comes on a donkey. He comes in humility. And he needs this donkey, this means to come. Sure, another way could be theoretically be devised, but this is the way it must happen. And this looks completely different than what we heard last week. This first coming, he's coming on a donkey. The second coming, the coming of the Son of Man, is on high, descending from the clouds with a horde of angels in full glory. And yet these two comings are in a sense one and the same. We cannot tell our own glory and justice by what we see, by what we know here on earth. When we look to heavenly things and we can see the majesty and glory, but when we look at the objective things Christ did on earth, maybe it can look lacking sometimes. You don't see his glory. It's not seen. It's not obvious. It's not visible. Sure, there was the transfiguration, and a couple of disciples got to see it then. But until he died, until he executed justice in that way, his glory was obscured. We could not see it. All we saw was the humility of a donkey. But this is what he's trying to say is glorious. That which is humble, that which is poor, that which is lowly, is meek. That these are the greatest things and the greatest people. For they shall receive their reward, the reward for their patience. They shall be the ones that will call out to God, and they shall hear a response. For those who trust in him shall not be put to shame. The justice that was worked is worked on their behalf, on behalf of the weak, on behalf of the helpless, on behalf of us. For spiritually, we are helpless. And yet, the response shows that glory. The fact that he could come in riding on a donkey, and yet everyone praises him. I'm sure there were hundreds of people riding in to Jerusalem on donkeys, day in and day out, indistinguishable from one another. And yet, this one man was different. The way had been prepared for him. He had the donkey. Their cloaks were set down. He had a gentle ride, at least as far as riding donkeys is concerned. Now, if you remember from the opening of the sermon, that Advent is the time of preparation. He's coming. Christ is coming. He is coming to execute justice. Just the same when he judges on the last day is justice. And so, in the same way, perhaps we should look to how the way was prepared for the first coming here, to look how we might prepare for the second coming. And that donkey is where we learn. Consider where it came from. A random man in the village who had his donkey tied up out front. The disciples walk up, start untying it, and they respond just as Jesus told them to. They simply say, "The Lord has need of it." I mean, imagine if you looked out your window and saw two guys trying to hotwire your truck, and you went out there and asked them what they were doing. And they just said, "The Lord has need of it." Jesus needs you, needs your truck. It might be a little hard to just say, "Okay." And yet we hear of no more protest from this man. Certainly don't have an account where the Jesus, okay, they said the Lord has need of it, and then quickly untied the donkey faster and ran off. No. This unnamed man prepares the way for the Lord by offering his donkey, by in humility offering up his own possessions to be used for the glory of God. Just as the Lord needed that donkey to come, as it was prophesied that he would ride in on a donkey. The Lord also has need of people and things to accomplish his justice. I mean, the justice won at the cross is namely the forgiveness of sins. That is justice. Against all reason. And here, the church. The church is the place where we receive that justice, where we receive forgiveness of sins. The word and sacraments are God's promised means, which God has designated the forgiveness of sins to be given through. They each give their own unique thing in order to accomplish this, but they all are here in the church as the place of forgiveness of sins. For how could we have baptism without water? How would we have water in the baptismal font if no one put it there? Sure, God could theoretically fill it with water miraculously for us. It's not how he's decided to do it. He's decided and said that people would do so. How could we have Holy Communion without bread and wine? And how would we have bread and wine if no one went out and bought it? How would anyone be able to buy it if no one grew grapes and fermented them? Or no grain was planted and harvested? Or no one would bake bread? God could theoretically fix these things, but he has chosen to fix them through you. Missionaries would go to great lengths to get wine into remote locations that they went. I mean, grapes were certainly a more European and Asian. The other side of the world from us. And yet we have grapes here, probably for this very purpose were they brought to begin with, that they would bring wine, they could have communion. And so many things are necessary in order for forgiveness of sins to be given. It's not as though it's some burden or requirement or something that we ourselves do, but it is simply God's way of providing. I mean, to offer these things up, they're worthless. And yet God makes them effective and beneficial for us. There would be no sermon if I didn't prepare it beforehand. And many things are just necessary for running the church. I mean, just for the sake of good order. God provides bulletins so that we know what's happening in the service. And yet, he doesn't just magically make them appear. The building. This building is a great gift. It can't have been cheap to make such a grand and glorious building. And yet, it is here. It is given for us. Everything in the church must be accomplished in this way. So God has promised to work in these means. The means of people. So elders of the church and trustees handle many of the affairs of the church. And I myself can testify that this congregation has done much to offer up their generosity to me. I have received food, money, house, warm welcomes, and friends. I know that God's justice is here. I know that it is being accomplished. I know that you are being made holy. But I am not a pastor. Not yet. I am in training, and so I have been given to be able to preach and to conduct service for the purposes of my training. And you have given me so much, though I am not qualified. And I thank you for this. My time here has been nothing but blessing. Yet how much more should you give for the one who is qualified? How much more should you give for the one man who shall stand before you and give God's justice, the forgiveness of sins, and be that instrument from God? I pray that he may come soon, and I pray that he may find this place well. Respond well to the call that the Lord has need of it. For for your faith does indeed match that of the unnamed man who trusted the word of Christ that came to his disciples. For I have seen it firsthand. Surely, if there was need, God would bring up what is necessary, but he has set you up to do this. He has chosen you and made you holy. He has forgiven your sins, cleansed you from all unrighteousness, and brought his justice and righteousness to bear upon each and every one of your souls. He protects us always. So before I say a few words to wrap up, I would like to pray the collect of the day with you. There's no place for the collect in Matins, and so we do not have it here. But it summarizes this Sunday's theme quite well. We pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. It is by his power that he stirs up that the church is sustained. For it is by his power that he has sanctified you and made you to be holy, forgiving your sins and bringing you to be one with Christ, so that finally you may be brought to walk with him on the last day, so that you may have a new, pure man inside of you that wills to do the good works of God that he has set forth before you. Never forget that even in the affairs of men, God is ever present and working. Never forget that you are a beneficiary of Christ's justice. Never forget the hope that is in you, for it will be fulfilled when Christ comes. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now unto eternity. Amen. You may be seated as we collect the offering.
behalf of all people and the church, according to their needs. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we, thine unworthy servants, do give thee most humble and hearty thanks for all thy goodness and loving kindness to us and to all men. We praise thee for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all, for thine inestimable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for the means of grace, and for the hope of glory. And we beseech thee, give us that due sense of all thy mercies, that our hearts may be unfeignedly thankful, and that we may show forth thy praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, that walking before thee in holiness and righteousness all our days, we may enjoy the testimony of good conscience and the hope of thy favor, be sustained and comforted under the troubles of this life, and finally, be received into thine everlasting kingdom through thine infinite mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord. We offer unto thee our common supplications for the good estate of thy church throughout the world, that it may be so guided and governed by thy good spirit, that all who profess themselves Christians may be led into the way of truth and hold the faith in unity of spirit, in the bond of peace, and in righteousness of life. Send down upon all ministers of the gospel and upon all congregations committed to their charge the healthful spirit of thy grace, and that they may truly please thee, pour upon them the continual dew of thy blessings. Most heartily we beseech thee of thy favor to behold the President and Congress of the United States and all others in authority, and so to replenish them with thy grace, that they may always incline to thy will and walk in thy way. Prosper all good counsels and all just works, that peace and happiness, truth and righteousness, religion and piety may be established among us throughout all generations. We humbly entreat thee also for all sorts of conditions of men, that thou wouldst be pleased to make thy ways known unto them, thy saving health unto all nations. May it please thee to preserve all that travel by land or water, to succor all that are in peril or need, and to satisfy the wants of all thy creatures. We also commend to thy fatherly goodness all those who are in any way afflicted or distressed in mind, body, or estate, that it may please thee to comfort and relieve them according to their several necessities, giving them patience under their sufferings and a happy issue out of all of their afflictions. Especially we bring before you Ed McCullough, Harold Merkel, Jean Ream, Esther Schweier, Jim McCullough, Joyce Lechner, Aubrey Art, Sean Mendez, Austin Art, Thomas Etzler, the Reverend David and Barbara Bush, Barbara Wolford, Charlotte Davis, Maya Culla, Wanda Schweier, Kenny Miller, and Patricia Lee. Heavenly Father, Lord of the Church, as this congregation is in a time of pastoral vacancy, grant by your grace that Zion continually be fed by your word, which sustains them unto salvation. Hear us, most merciful God, in these our humble requests, which we offer up unto thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, to whom, with thee and the Holy Ghost, be all honor and glory, world without end. Amen. Thank you. remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who hast safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all.